I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and Beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m.
Chris, what are we listening to?
It's Thunderstruck by AC/DC. Shout out to the Oklahoma City Thunder. The team that beat Memphis at FedEx Forum, beat the Grizzlies at FedEx Forum in a triple overtime game that kept the Grizzlies from going to a conference finals in 2011. The team that beat the Grizzlies in a game 7 without Zach Randolph in 2014. That was pretty cool last night.
It was a lot of fun. By the way, Jeffrey, play that song again. Play that song again. Because I went to a Bills game recently, and I went to a Bills tailgate recently.
Right.
And there were some younger people there. And it's been a long time since I've played drinking games, and I don't really drink really anymore. So, but this is the drinking game, okay?
Right.
They played this with this song.
Okay.
Every time someone, the Thunder, says, the word Thunder appears, you drink. Until Thunder is said again, and then you stop drinking, okay? So you start now, right? Remember. Boom, right. Now you drink until it stops in Thunder, okay?
They ease you into it.
They ease you into it. But then at some point, it's a little bit like Russian roulette, because at some point, there's a guitar solo.
Right.
And so the person, that's the hilarious part of the drinking game, is at some point, someone gets stuck. They say Thunder, and there's not another Thunder for a minute or 2 minutes or something, because it's a guitar solo.
Whenever there's a new Thunder, you stop drinking,
starts. Yeah, okay. You drink when this Thunder is said, and then till another Thunder starts, and then the other person starts. You hand it off with the next Thunder.
The baton.
But until there's a guitar solo.
I'm so proud of the city of Buffalo.
And that's when the paramedics
come. I'm just inventing new drinking games.
And then that's the person who jumps through the table.
Yes.
Exactly right. So, anyway... So you lamented that you weren't in the building last night, Chris.
It's one of those, and we talk about this sometimes, it's one of those box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And Thursday night against the Thunder, I wasn't doing the game story, and I there's other stuff to do. I got movies to watch and clothes to fold and whatever, and I stayed home. And I sort of wish I had been in the building for that one.
Well, where would you? In terms of home games this year.
Well, here's the thing. What would I have left, though?
Right. Would you have –
what I've sensed, well, this is a blowout, but not sensing the history of it.
Oh, you could have left in the second or third quarter.
Because I actually stopped watching and then came back to watch.
I see. Yeah, you don't know you're watching the biggest
– I stopped watching early in the third quarter, and then I was still sort of following it on Twitter. And then when the history started to emerge, I turned it back on. Yeah.
Well, and Kevin Pelton made the point that – it's unusual, but not that unusual, to be up big after three quarters. There are 10 teams that have been up by as many as 51, I think, as that was what it was, after three quarters. And those teams have won by an average of – they're up 51, and they win by an average of – the average margin is 52.1 points.
Right.
You don't go plus 22 in the fourth quarter. That's where the history is
most
made.
Most teams in that situation don't have no-chill John Conchar coming off the bench.
That is true.
7 of 8. Just bombing threes and dunking on fools and going nuts.
That's exactly it. So, and the Grizzlies now have the distinction of...
I'm going to have referees calling goaltending with a 70-point margin.
Have the worst loss... The Grizzlies have the worst loss of the season in the entire NBA, 43 points to Minnesota.
Yeah.
And the best win of the season.
Of the history of basketball.
In the history of basketball. But they also have the worst win of the season. But, yes, the biggest win in the history of basketball. And you got to wonder what Desmond Bane is thinking today 1-6.
1-6. How do you do that? The Grizzlies won by 73 points last night. They have a winning record on the season, and they still have a negative point differential.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, because this does a hell of a thing for the until last night, they had been outscored by 92 points.
Yeah, they needed a 92-point win, and I was hopeful maybe they'd get it last night.
And so they win what they do, and now their point differential, their negative point differential, goes from minus 4.4 to minus 0.8. What does a win like this, because you're always looking at efficiency and over the season,
it distorts stuff, doesn't it?
Well,
in this case, it corrects. And normally it would distort,
okay,
but I think their numbers were already distorted. And so to me, now the numbers become more useful going forward, because I think the numbers were out of the numbers before last night were not in to me were not a good indication of what the team actually was. And last night alone.
Why was that? What are they correcting for? Like, they're correcting for that 43-point loss to Minnesota?
Yeah, I just think that the number of big losses they'd had were weird, and I think not reflective of what they were going to be going forward. So I think it makes the numbers actually a little more useful. Normally it would. It would just be like, well, this is useless for the rest of the season now. But I think that it's sort of balanced out. You talk about the Minnesota game. It's sort of taking these two extremes and sort of.
And so that makes it more useful going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many stats that leap out. Grizzlies had 93 bench points compared to 79 total for Oklahoma City. Santi Aldama was plus 52 in 28 minutes of play. Jeremiah Robinson-Earl was minus 56 in 24 minutes of play. You can go on with the crazy stats here.
I mean, the best thing about the game were the defense chances.
The defense
with 3 minutes
chances. Jeffrey,
do we
have this? Jeffrey,
I don't think I've ever been prouder of my city than in that moment.
Who is the genius who said we've got to do this? Is up 78, against the Oklahoma City Thunder, I think this is a form of exacting revenge on the city of Oklahoma City. Because Jeffrey is striving to get it. But, yes, we had defense chance up 78.
Oh, I have it. It's just I don't have the computer's not working.
The computer's not working.
Here
it is, yeah.
Theoretically.
3-point play when I'm not down a 3-pointer to get my 3 points.
They're resounding.
It really was.
With the Grizzlies up this point. You think these fans are enjoying themselves?
I mean, I was watching it on the Bally Sports site on my laptop in like a second screen and sitting in bed, and it was like blaring through the speakers.
Right. Yeah. No, it was resounding. All right. Well, let's talk about what may or may not be meaningful here. In the three games now without Ja, they have not trailed in the three games without Ja. Of course, this isn't about Ja, but it is about.
No, that's not what my reaction wasn't about the Ja part. It was about the schedule has really set up for them. You get a Kings team missing two starters in total disarray. You get a Raptors team missing two starters, and you get that joke of a team missing their two best players last night in Shea and Josh Giddey. So I think that they have their defense has tightened up and refocused, but they also have, they're not out there
and
trying to guard
up.
Steph Curry.
Clearly. My question, though, is this. If defense is a product of a lot of things, but some of it is effort, attention to detail, et cetera.
Totally.
It does strike me that it could reset their defensive effort going forward, even after, like, now we remember, this is how we do it, this is what is required.
This has been my implication and my hope, yes. And I sort of implied that to Taylor Jenkins, who didn't take the bait, and I wrote about it in the mailbag this week, yes. I think the absence of Ja, sort of the shock of Ja's absence, I think they were shell-shocked in the Atlanta game and they fell apart. I think after that, the shock had a way of – was more of a smelling salts.
Right.
It was more of a wake up the defense. We have to focus on our defensive detail in the absence of Ja. And I think you have seen some of that, and my hope is that it will sort of carry over when he comes back. Yeah.
This is more of a stretch, but we were theorizing this. Ja is a very prideful fellow, and he is also very aware of everything.
Oh, yeah.
You would hate to be the guy – I would think maybe this is a stretch.
It'll be awkward if they keep winning and then he comes back and they start losing.
Or if you come back and your defensive ratings immediately plummet, right? And you would think if you were Ja, you would be like, people are just joking the stupid joke about, haha, they're better off without Ja. Ja's reacting to the stupid joke on Twitter.
And the joke, by the way, wasn't even about Ja. The joke, well, I don't want to get into the weeds of that stupid thing, but the actual joke was a joke from one writer to another writer. It was about the other writer's penchant to be contrary.
Right, exactly.
It wasn't actually a joke at the expense of Ja Morant.
And Ja's like picking up on that and whatever. Right. So I don't think it is far-fetched for Ja to think, God, I don't want these defensive ratings to plummet when I come back.
Maybe it's smelling salts for him
maybe
on defense.
Maybe it will be smelling salts for him on defense.
It's funny. Up until three games ago, the Grizzlies, as we all know, because we've been talking about it all season, they had the lowest rated defense in the NBA. And, of course, you would expect, over the last three games, they have the number one rated defense in the NBA.
God. And then there's the Jaren stuff, which you've been talking about and writing about for a while, and now it's getting national.
Yeah.
Now it's getting Zach Lowe is writing about star.
He might come out in the next game and go 0-7. And, you know, who knows? Right. It's game to game. But he's been awesome lately. And it's been both. It's been the whole package lately. Because the defense has been good all season, and it's been sort of hard to see because the team defense has been bad and his offense has been bad. So it has. We've been talking about this. I've written about it. But now it's like the whole thing. I mean, he's been awesome the last few games.
Yeah.
And as I've written for a few years, that is the tipping point for this team. Like, if Jaren Jackson is awesome, like, the ceiling of this team raises significantly.
Well, it's funny. I might as well have been reading Chris Harrington this morning when I read Zach Lowe. Here it is.
Right.
Jaren Jackson Jr. is one of the three or four most important swing players of the next half decade across the league. If he's an all-star or at least a real candidate every season, the Grizz are on to something. If he's merely good, the path towards 55 wins gets murky. Over the last 3 weeks, Jackson has reasserted his prominence, averaging 19.2 points on almost 50-40-90 shooting since mid-November, flashing the full breadth of his game. Up to 34% from deep on massive volume, expects it to go higher. And then defensively, again, this is all stuff you pointed out within the last 2 weeks. Jackson is the common denominator in almost every productive Memphis lineup. The Grizzlies are plus 7 per 100 possessions with Jackson and a ghastly minus 10 when he sits. So
he is the skeleton key. He is what makes things work. I'm not telling you he's their best player or whatever. But he is the thing that unlocks their lineups and what they can do.
One of the things you mentioned in the mailbag that you had up yesterday was about trades that may be coming or what the Grizzlies could do. What the heck? Like, given that Desmond Bane, you would look at the wing situation right now in a much more positive. You wanted to upgrade once upon a time. Well, now, a year ago, upgrading from Dylan Brooks, Desmond Bane, D'Anthony Melton, whatever, wouldn't have been a tall order. Now it's, unless you're getting an all-star, hard to upgrade.
Right. It's still like if you said, like, if you had to pick any player in the league or whatever to add to the team, you're still picking an all-star elite wing. But it's going to have to be an all-star elite wing to really be a meaningful upgrade, right, which is harder to get. And so that is still, like, in terms of a third quote-unquote star to go with Ja and Jaren, that's still the kind of player you're talking about. Because I don't think Dylan Brooks is going to be an all-star. Desmond Bane is going to be an all-star. But they're quality starters. Like, they're really good. You already got quality starters there. So if you're talking about just, like, making the team better, that's actually not where you look. To me, you look in the front court where it is not clear you have as good as – they've been good with Jaren and Steven Adams. I think Steven Adams has actually been quietly better the last few games, too. They've been good with Jaren and Steven Adams together. They've been great with Jaren and Brandon Clark together. But I'm not convinced that either of those guys is the long-term starter in the front court next to Jaren. So that
– that's an easier upgrade.
Easier upgrade. And then off the bench – they don't have a bucket getter. They don't have, like, either, like, a off the dribble, I'm going to go out and get buckets, or, like, a pure shooter. They don't have a real scorer on the perimeter coming off the bench the way a lot of teams do, your classic, like, six-man get buckets style.
Well, the problem is that they have D'Anthony Melton. Like, is that he fills that – not he's not that guy.
Right.
He's your guard off the bench, and that's where you would classically have your bucket getter.
And obviously last night was like a crazy game, so whatever. You don't want to put
him in. He hit his first seven shots, D'Anthony Melton did.
He also basically played point guard and was really good playing point guard. And to me, the future I want to try to get to if I'm the Grizzlies is D'Anthony Melton's your backup point guard, and now you open up another.
That's where your bucket getter goes there.
Yes. That D'Anthony Melton already under contract for the next two seasons is your backup point guard.
His history has not been good at point guard.
No, it's not. But I sort of hinted at this in the mailbag too. Ja being out a few weeks is an opportunity to, like, let's keep giving him the ball and, like, see what happens. And, like, I wouldn't close the door on that.
Right.
Because, yes, is he ever going to be as pure of a playmaker, as steady as a guy with the ball as Tyus Jones? No. But he's going to do so much more defensively, so much more on the board, so much more in terms of scoring upside. Like, it could still balance out to be a better overall player at that spot if he can become a little bit better as a playmaker. And he was really good last night as a playmaker.
All right, around the league just a little bit. Suns have won 18 straight. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that team's really good. They're going to keep being really good as long as they're healthy. To me, like I said yesterday, Chris Paul, the durability of Chris Paul through 82 games and four rounds of playoffs is to be the major question with them. And that's a team that, I mean, they have decent depth. They don't have a great depth. I could see that team like making some trade to just, not to add a starter because their starting lineup's great, but to, you know, they could try to boost their depth. I think that's an in-season candidate.
And are you convinced the Pelicans are dead? They've been better, and
I think they had
a lot of injuries issues. Yeah. It wasn't just they were woeful or inept.
I think this is like, I want to say maybe it was two seasons ago where they dug a big hole for themselves and they were way better like later in the season, but it was just too much to come back from. I think that's what it's going to be. I don't think they will continue to play at this level from a winning percentage standpoint. I just think they're so far back that they're not going to be able to dig their way all the way.
Even into the play-in. They're 5.5 games back from the play-in.
Yeah.
That's not untenable.
It's not, but it's still, like, meaningful.
Of course, from good teams. And they're back behind, like, Denver.
Who knows? Zion just had another setback.
Right. Zion just had
so who knows setback. When he's going to play again?
All right. A couple other things I wanted to get to. One is Taco Nganas. What does the Nganas mean, by the way?
I don't even remember.
This is a taco truck that you have referred us to before.
Yeah. It's not a truck that travels around. Like, they set up.
I finally went to the one on Summer, and it's got a big old corner that it.
It's a whole scene.
It's a whole city there. Yeah. And so if you go to Taco Nganas, because I've now had people go and be disappointed, and I think it's because they get this thing, the taco dipped in grease, and it's just too damn much. If you get it dipped in grease there,
this is a feature, not a bug.
It's too damn much.
And then you dip it in the consommé.
The burrito was incredible good. I loved the burrito there, and I liked it not dipped in grease.
If you don't want the spicy, greasy deliciousness, go get a shrimp taco there, because their shrimp tacos are much lighter, and they're very good.
Okay. But now they're opening an actual – what are they doing?
Well, no, they're doing a fourth location. Their locations are all like stationary trucks where they build like an apparatus around the tables and tents.
And so where are the –
They're doing a fourth one. It's going to be in Midtown at that vacant – what's been vacant for a long time, that lot at Central and Cooper.
Right across from the gas station.
Yes.
Is that what it is? And that, right.
Where the like train track goes over.
There was going to be some
– There was 5-6 years ago, there was this thing called the truck stop that was proposed that was going to be like a food truck court basically that would have different trucks coming in and out, but it would be a landing spot, and that went through various objections and approval problems and never happened. And so now it's...
That's a great, convenient place. That's right where... Is there a trestle there? What is there?
Yeah, there's a trestle right there. The issue is that it's a busy intersection. It's right there, equidistant between Overton Square and Cooper Young, right? Which these two entertainment districts have sort of been growing towards each other.
Right.
Rail Garden's right there.
Urban Outfitters
is already like, you know,
you can't park.
People in Memphis freak out about parking. People in Memphis are somehow convinced we have a huge parking problem. When if you go to any other city, like it's dramatically worse everywhere else, pretty much. I mean, I was in Denver this summer and like, you know, just trying to go get ice cream, you had to drive around for 20 minutes, find somewhere to park on the street. So people are going to freak out about the parking issues. And there are a few spots within the enclosed. But to me, this is a park somewhere down the road and like walk. I really think it's going to be like people who are hanging out at Rail Garden and hanging out at whatever. It's going to be walk and get a taco. It's a perfect like nightlife, you know, entertainment district, like people like, you know, pedestrian oriented kind of.
And then they're building something out east.
So they are. It's not going to be a Taco Nganas, but the same owner, the owner of Taco Nganas, is going to be putting in like more of a high end Mexican restaurant, an actual sit down restaurant in Germantown next year. It will not be called Taco Nganas.
I see. Have you been to Big Bad Breakfast since it's opened here?
Not in Memphis. I've eaten at Big Bad Breakfast a couple times in other cities, Birmingham, I think Oxford, but I have not been to the Memphis
I went
location.
To it here, very good, and I went early enough, whatever. Like on a Saturday morning, people don't want to get up that early, so I think it was 7:30 or 8, and it wasn't even a long
time. Feels like it's been a long time. It's been around long enough now that it's probably died down.
Okay, and then last thing is you told me off the air before you came in that you have a visitor this week and who's never been to Memphis.
This is true.
Where do you take people who've never been to Memphis when they come to Memphis?
So we're going to, it's been a while since we've had a lot of people like that. Earlier when we were younger in our 20s, that was more common. It's not as common for us anymore. So my wife's brother's coming to town. He's never been here before. The rest of our family's been here a bunch, but he's never been here. They're only here for like a day and a half. So what we're going to do, like their flight arrives at 6 p.m. tonight. So instead of going out tonight, what we're going to do is get a bucket of fried chicken from Gus's. And I'm going to make the sides myself. I'm going to make mac and cheese and sausages mm-hmm. and Brussels sprouts and whatever. And we're going to get the fire pit going because the weather's nice, especially relative to Minnesota. Right. We're going to hang out in the backyard and eat Gus's chicken and,
do
s'mores and whatever. Tomorrow, they are going to go on their own and do some tour stuff. They're going to the National Civil Rights Museum. I think we're going to take the dogs to Shelby Farms, and then in the middle of the day, they're going to go do some tourist stuff, and then we're going to go, I think we're going to go to Little Betty and get pizza and beer, and then walk around, South Main.
I've never been tomorrow night. I've never been to Little Betty. Still haven't been to Little Betty.
Very
which
good.
Is where? It's on the...
It's the new Wiseacre Brewery downtown. It's like walking distance from FedEx Forum down third, further south on
3rd
Street.
So that's pretty good. So they're getting Gus's Fried Chicken.
Yep.
You're going to the dog park, which is one of the true gems.
Yep.
And then
Civil
Rights Museum.
Maybe
and,
Sun Studio for
and
them.
And then get some pizza and beer and
pizza
whatever
beer
else.
And hang around South Main. Maybe go to Central Station, let them check out the cool bar there, get some drinks later tomorrow night.
Well, thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.